Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community, that's All Poetry, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Luyu, in Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Join us at 1 p.m. on Wednesday for Keeping It Brief, and then come back later that evening as we turn up the heat with The Art of Seduction. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft or Sullen Art with Richard Neutron and Double Helix with Aphasian Index. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry, and Saturday is split with Gray Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wilds, Bringing You Bad Company, and Exploring Ekphrasia with Captain B2 and Daniel. And if you're looking for a little more edgier realm, then check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Tuesday through Sunday mornings. Take a walk on the wild side Tuesday. Join Jeremy as he brings you the Headliners Ball on Thursday. Break on through with Tam on Friday. Saturday, sit in with Aphasian and Babylon as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. And starting next Sunday, the 23rd, join Stelina and Arcana as they bring you Delving into the Depths of Darkness. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. And good evening.
Do the same thing every week while you're doing the intro. I have myself on mute, and when you say good evening, Gene, I'm like, where's the button? Yeah, always, always. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
At least I'm consistent. That's what I can say, even if it is consistently bad. Just saying. Yes, I'm glad you're doing well. Yeah, everything's good here, too. And just so you know, we have Pam on the line with us. So hello, Pam, and welcome to the party.
Cool.
Glad to be here. Hello, Gene. Hello, Rex.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Life is good, despite the fact that winter decided to peek its head up again in the middle of April. You know, but all in all, life is good.
Yeah, oh, so much for Potunky Bill. So.
Yeah, well, not, like I told you before, his wife says he's a liar.
Well, maybe it's time for him to die and somebody else take over.
I'm telling you, everybody's ready to kill him, so it might not be far away. but yes. And what Pam, I was saying earlier, we had 2 days at 86 and over the last 3 days. And then we were down to like 77 or 75. And it's supposed to progressively drop a little bit until next week, and then it's supposed to go back up, and I don't think we're supposed to get above 77. It's just the craziest weather, because it's like it goes up, it goes down. But they say what goes up must come down, right? So I guess that's all part of it. But, yeah, when you go winter, you go big winter. You said it was snowing, didn't you?
Yeah, we got snow today. April 16th, and we got snow.
Wow.
Yeah, when it comes to winter, it's go big or go home in Wisconsin. Go or stay home. It's, you know, sit or stay home.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, I can't imagine. Although I keep telling everybody, when I was young, probably somewhere in my mid-teens, I remember 1 year in June. Now, honest to heavens, I know it was June. Right around my mother's birthday, it snowed here. And I thought, what the hell is that? Now, granted, we didn't have a blizzard, and it didn't, like, go up to our knees or anything. But it was snowing. Not just,
right,
You know, and I thought that was the craziest thing, and I've never forgotten it. Because it was the most bizarre set of weather ever in my world. You know, June? Come on now. June, everybody's getting ready to go to the shore. So it's pretty amazing. Oh,
That's crazy. You know, the oddest thing I ever saw as a kid as far as weather goes is we had this one season of real heavy rain 1 year in Wisconsin. Okay. And we had so much rain that there were actually small fish swimming across the roads.
Oh, my word.
I know there are people I know who live in areas that flood, but that's not an uncommon thing for them. But where I grew up, flooding wasn't a common thing. So that always stands out in my head, watching the fish swim across the road.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is really crazy. But, you know, I mean, every so often we all get a blooper in the weather. It's like, wow. But this year is like, I was saying direct, you know, his weather's been like kind of chilly compared to what I'm used to hearing him talk about in the spring. He's usually way ahead of me weather-wise, like warmth-wise.
It is. I want some of that damn global warming they've been talking about to come to this part of the woods.
I know. Melina had it right the other day. I've said it for a few years now. Mother Nature is just menopausal. Sorry, guys, I didn't mean to like say that, but I had to. Yeah, she is. She's just sickle, and she has hot flashes now, and it's rough. It's rough. It is. So, yeah, I stay away from her because, you know, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature, but boy, when she gets mad, I don't want any parts of it. You're a wicked little thing. You know, just saying. Hi, Rex.
Hi.
Sorry. I got silly.
That's all right.
Getting mad. Stilliness is just stick your rod out of your window to catch something. I got a little nervous when I started reading that. I was like, oh, no. I had to finish that sentence because I couldn't stop in the middle. Absolutely. So, Rex, come on and tell us about your contest for this week.
It's the 50th anniversary of Pink Floyd's The Dark Side of the Moon. Came out March 1st of 1973. So I thought, hey, it's a perfect choice to play with, the whole album. Give everybody a chance to relive some of those days or listen to it for the first time. Anyway, Pink Floyd started out as something else before they got to being Pink Floyd. Roger Waters and Dave Mason were at London Polytechnic. They were studying architecture back in 63. So they were forming groups. And they met Richard Wright was also at the architecture school. So the three of them formed up. And with a few other people that they picked up along the way, they formed a bunch of groups. The first one, Sigma Six. Then they rolled into Megadeth, Abdabs, the Screaming Abdabs, and then in 64 they settled on the T-Set. In 64 is when Sid Barrett joined the crew because he'd been a friend of Roger's since childhood. And they were doing a show where one of the other bands was also named the T-Set. So on the fly they changed their name to Sid had in his record collection to blues singers. Pink Anderson, who was born in 1900 in Lawrence, South Carolina, and Floyd Council, born in 1911 in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. They played predominantly the Piedmont blues. So he took first names of each and hit on Pink Floyd. They started with the Pink Floyd sound, officially going to that name in 65. And then one of the managers or producers suggested dropping the sound, so then they ended up with the Pink Floyd and finally settled on Pink Floyd as their name going forward. Sid Barrett was young at the time. He was only 19, so he had the musical thought to where the band should go. So that first album was written by Sid, and the boys checked in. That was in 1967, A Piper at the Gates of Dawn. And they had two minor hits on that album. Arnold Lane and See Emily Play. But before they signed, they also was a house band for a psychedelic club in London called UFO, spelled UFO. And they were doing pretty good that time. The two minor hits from that 67 album opened them up to the rest of the world. They did a little touring. Then in 67, later in 67, things started to fall apart as Sid Barrett went off the deep end. Later in 67, they voted to get him out of the band, even though the next album coming out in 68 was A Saucer Full of Secrets. He had written half of the songs for that album. And by the end of 67, they brought in David Gilmour as a stage present. They were going to keep Sid Barrett on to write music, but he kept getting a little further and further into the madness angle. So by April of 68, they had removed him totally from the band. And from that point on, Roger Waters was the main lyricist going forward. They put out More in 69, as well as Umma Gumma in 69, Adam Hart Mother in 1970, and Metal in 71. They had some minor notes in those albums going forward, and then Obscured by Clouds in 72, but 73 with the advent of Waters writing all the music, and this album blew them out of the water. It set the pace for what they were going to do going forward, and they finally hit that where they wanted to go. Everything else in between, with Syd Barrett, the psychedelic angle and the stretches and the music, and then trying to keep that pace with Waters going forward, they finally hit their notes with Dark Side of the Moon, and it sold worldwide. It sold something like 45 million copies, and it's, I think in the United States, it's 21st all-time on albums sold. And for a long time, they were third best in albums there. So, wonderful album, great music, and quite the innovation. So they got it all together for the album, and they haven't stopped going forward from there.
Yep. That's awesome. All kinds of good stuff. Dear God, it's so hard to believe. You make me feel old when you talk like that. Why are you doing
it? I remember when this came out. Damn.
Yeah. Well, I was young when it came out, but still, you know, I mean, in my head, they've been around forever in my world. You know,
this came out. I went to my first concert. It was John McLaughlin and the Mahavishnu Orchestra, 1973.
Wow. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Yeah.
All right. We've got a lot of rights for this. So I'm stretching this into 2 weeks. We're going to do part this week because we got three rollovers from Todd Rundgren last week. We're going to do first. And then we're going to get into Pink Floyd. And the remainder will be done next Sunday. So this will be 2 weeks of Pink Floyd.
Well, I think we have two full shares already up on that board. So if not, I'd be surprised. So the first one.
I know we do. Between the music we're playing and the rights themselves,
right.
It's definitely 2 weeks.
Absolutely. So the first song I'm going to put up is The Road to Utopia. So here we go.
Thank you.
That one there. Okay, now in fact, first poem I'm going to put up, Pam, I'm going to ask you to read this. This is called The Road to Utopia by Rose Winter 515.
All right.
Whenever you're ready.
Utopia is everywhere in my dreams. Utopia is a journey of life from the start. The road is a long one or short as you like, but the heart goes on for eternity. Love forever. Utopia is love and life blessed together. Utopia is always and forever in our hearts. Utopia is a wonderful world in our souls, marvelous music and dancing to the rhythm of our hearts. We will love forever. End poem.
Great reading. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, you get to kick it.
Yeah, I think this was a nice piece by Rose Winter 515. Great brevity. And I think that it really lined up nicely with the song, the prompt. You know, it's just forever. We will love forever. You know, and utopia is like that. It's that place, you know, that place of constant, like, you know, happiness. In my mind, that's what that was, yeah, says to me. So I think it was just a really nice job. And thanks, Rose, for sharing with us.
Thank you, Jean. And Pam, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, this is a wonderful brevity. Really beautiful spiritual write on the idea that of the heavenly love in that we hold in our hearts for our other people and for ourselves. I like the capitalization of love forever, and we will love forever. But I also like how she brings in the music, marvelous music and dancing to the rhythm of our hearts, making it the idea being that the music and dance is an important part of our spiritual journey. So very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. Do you notice that... That kind of looks like a core to apple. Anyway, I'll walk on the same thoughts as you two. This does walk in simplicity. As long as you keep the blessed goods within your heart, then life is a utopia because you're living it day by day as opposed to pondering the thoughts of tomorrow and somewhere down the line. where things change every day. This way, if you're living it day by day, you can always be happy in the moment instead of predisposing yourself to wanting that down the road where you might not find it. Because life is short, as she says, all along, depending on how you tread those miles. Nicely done, Rose. Thank you very much.
The next song I'm going to put up is called Western Girl. So here we go.
Wait, you got the song right here.
Wait. What I do?
Nothing. Nothing. You put the song up.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Look, Rex, I'm confused enough. Don't help me like that. Okay, I'm going to put this song on again. And I think it's okay. Here we go.
This last week, but I finally did find it. It was It was done by a band called Dragon from Down Under, a New Zealand Australian rock band called Dragon. Todd Rundgren was the producer on that album, but he was also one of the songwriters for this song as well, with him, Alan Mansfield, Sharon O'Neill, and Mark Hunter. So I had to go into it a little further than I thought I might have to begin with. That's why I couldn't find it under Todd. It's under someone else.
You scared me there. You scared me. Okay, what did I do now? But we're going to put up the first piece that goes with this one, and it's called Sweet Lady Starlight by Betty Page, and I have an audio for this, so here you go.
Sweet Lady Starlight, twirling cherry red, bohemian gypsy girl dancing by starlight, bright neon colors illuminating rainbows, dark kaleidoscopes. Pink strawberry moon shimmers in cascading waves, swirling in Venice. Daydreaming of love, windswept in her drifting thoughts, sweet lady starlight, embracing magic, stirs up waves mysterious, mystical whirlwinds, swaying tall palm trees, cantinas, margaritas, sips on drinks poolside. Polynesian girl, in love with being in love, drifting high amidst crowds, elusive, divine, alluring, sweet enchantment, wanders infinite. Chase relentlessly, always seems so out of reach, social butterfly. Captivate her heart, open her love with your key, never let her go. End poem.
Great read, Betty. Thank you very much for the sound card. It is much appreciated. All right, Pam, you get to kick it off.
Okie dokie, Smokey. Yeah, I thought this was beautiful. As always, she's got a wonderful 5-7-5 lines. It was great that she made the recording because she's got such a beautiful reading voice. Wonderful imagery and metaphors throughout. I like how the main theme of this is the idea of a free-spirited woman who longs to love and be loved. I particularly liked lines with embracing magic, stirs up waves, mysterious, mystical whirlwinds, and elusive, divine, alluring, sweet enchantment, wanders infinite, and then the last line, which I really felt had a great emotional impact and captured the main theme. Captivate her heart, open her love with your key, never let her go. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you? Press that button.
And it begins. I agree with you, Kim. I like the 5-7-5 a bit. I don't always catch that unless something in it was in my ear. But it was nicely done. And I have to say that, you know, I was right above you there with the picking lines, Pam, because I was like, pink strawberry moon shimmers in cascading waves, swirling in Venice. Daydreaming of love, windswept in her drifting thoughts, sweet lady starlight. Embracing magic, stirs up waves, mysterious, mystical whirlwind. But they were lovely lines. And there's a lot of nice stanzas here. And I like it. So I think Chris did a nice job with this and a nice take on the prompt.
Thank you, Jean. I think that second line kind of starts it off. Bohemian gypsy girl. All right, you're offering up something that's outside the norm. And she rolls into a shimmer's cascading wave, swirling in Venice, windswept in her drifting thoughts. Sweet Lady Starlight, stirs up waves, mysterious, mystical whirlwinds, then drop in with cantinas, margaritas, sips on drinks, poolside. Then she drops in the reality. Polynesian girl in love with being in love, drifting high amidst crowds. And then, again, social butterfly. So that rolls right back to the bohemian girl. And it doesn't matter, Venice, the cantinas in Polynesia. Just hits to that, as Pam said, that one who floats effortlessly within and around everyone. And the idea, like she said, that last stanza speaks for itself. If you want that girl, you've got to use the key to open that heart. So nicely done, Betty. Thank you very much. All right, we're coming back to you.
And I have another audio for a few relating to that song. And this is by Naomi Fair. And the name of the piece is Do It or Screw It. So here we go. And
do it or, hey, screw it. You gotta do it, screw it. Drop it or get lit. Walk away or just sit, but whatever you choose, don't short circuit your fuse. Kick up your high heels and just do it like you feel. Held head high and no time for shy. Strut it, flaunt it, dance to your own style. Whatever the tune, sing loud as if you're crooning to the moon. You kick up those heels real high and damn, do it like you know how to fly. Play it as if it's your own freaking show. Lean back and groove real low. Move them hips real sexy slow. You play it as if it's your own freaking show. Stay or walk away. Don't think of what others might say. Tomorrow always brings a shiny new day. Girl, just do it in your own unique way. Just move in your own steady flow. Yeah, because, girl, this is your own freaking show. It's your turn to decide and your answers to find. Just jam to that music playing in your mind.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Pam.
Oh, that was wonderful. What a great song she did there. It had a real Marilyn Monroe type sound to it, with the tone of her voice and the lyrics. I really like this one. I love the attitude in it. I thought it had hard-hitting and edgy lines that were also a lot of fun. I really felt like it captured that whole energy and vibe of, you know, if you got it, flaunt it. But what I really loved about it was the fact that it really spoke to me on the idea of being true to yourself and in embracing your feminine energy, your feminine sexuality, and just being proud of it. I really like head held high and no time for shy, strut it, flaunt it, dance to your own style. And then stay or walk away, don't think of what others might say. Tomorrow always bring a shiny new day. Girl, just do it in your own unique way. So very cool, right, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I think Naomi did a great job here. Just I thought the tune that she added to the piece, and I thought that added a just the right amount of bounce to it, you know. And I'm totally with Pam. I think that, you know, it really was like just be who you are, you know. And you know, if you got it, flaunt it, exactly as the lines say. But I grabbed these two stanzas. Whatever the tune, sing loud as if you're turning to the moon. Yeah, kick up those heels real high, and damn, do it like you know how to fly. Play it as if it's your own freaking show. And back and groove real low. Move them hips real sexy slow. Yeah, play it as if it's your own freaking show. I thought it was a nice take on the prompt. I loved it. I thought it was great. So thank you, Naomi, for sharing with us tonight.
Thank you, Jean. I can see this in two views. The thought of seeing someone dancing to the music and singing playing along with the band, but also as a view from a window. You see this girl dancing in the window, but whatever she's doing in the house, just dancing all around, singing, having fun while she's doing it, whether it's cleaning or just moving stuff around. So this could be viewed as someone noticing her from a window and watching entranced with all that's going on. So nicely done, Naomi.
Okay.
Kind of like that song from Carlos Santana. Was it Spanish Harlem Senorita, something like that?
Yes.
Yes.
That's an awesome song. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, guys. Well, if you're all ready, I'm ready. Next song I'm going to play is Us and Them. Us and Them.
Who are we, us and them? After all, aren't we just ordinary men? With lives and loves, and now dissipating dreams. Yet, in these surreal nightmares, nothing is as it seems. A thousand miles hence, from hearth and home, in the valley of the shadow, we endlessly roam. In scarlet mists, where lithe limbs are torn, and tender young faces are haggard and worn. Who are we, us and them? After all, we are just ordinary men who have been taught the fine art of how to kill, to maim, to torture, and precious lifeblood to spill. From lads who, in another world, we could have called friends. For whom are we fighting this war that never ends? I know that for us there's no rhyme nor reason to slaughter youths with lives in their first season. Who are we, us and them? We are no longer just ordinary men. We are marred and scarred by war's cruel hand, fighting for freedom and the love of our land. Yet we would be happy to be one race on earth, to all live as brothers, respecting each other's worth, to embrace our differences and share our cultures, not pick the bones of prejudice like voracious vultures. Who are they, the likes of them? They, like us, are only ordinary men. Why are they given the power to cause such pain? Still, they keep on doing it over and over again.
great reads, Galena. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Pam, we're going to start with you. What do you got?
Right. Well, first of all, what an absolutely beautiful read and wonderful choice of accompanying background music. I thought this was an amazing write. It's very emotional and philosophical and epic in its feel. I like how it pays tribute to those who serve in war, who suffer the after effects of being in battle. And I like the use of the word ordinary men multiple times and how it brings across the message of how oftentimes ordinary men are called to make choices or called to follow, a war brought forth by those above them, and how, you know, that it's beyond their comprehension how battles, such wars can happen. And the desire to only want to understand each other and to get along with each other. I like how Stelina really applied this to both sides, you know, of a battle or a war, especially within that end stanza. And I also really particularly like how she reminds us that those who were once ordinary men go beyond ordinary because they become marred and scarred, and that stanza did particularly stand out to me. Who are we? Us and them. We are no longer just ordinary men. We are marred and scarred by war's cruel hand, fighting for freedom and the love of our land. You know, all the way through, just amazing lines and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Oh, God, what a wonderful piece. I think every stanza in this, I was looking and I was like, oh, my God, I love that one. Wait, I love that one. Wait, I love that one. I mean, you know, I was going to say the first three stanzas, but it doesn't leave a whole lot of dandits, and they were wonderful lines as well. I think this is just an excellent piece by Selena. Truly amazing, wonderfully expressed. You know, really, it was just a great piece, and each stanza was remarkable in my mind. Most excellent. So thank you so much for sharing with us tonight, Galena. And this is really just incredible. So well done. Well done.
Nice. Thank you, Jean. Well, Stel, I enjoyed the background music. It was fitting. And you took the song in a different way than I would have imagined, Us and Them, and turned it into something that is a reminder of what comes out of those things that everybody's forced to roll into once it becomes us and them. And you roll up the question each and every stanza, who are we, us and them? That note to who are we, just ordinary men, the ones called to protect home and hearth, as you put it, and who end up doing things that they would never think themselves of doing until it comes to that note where they are told, this is what you have to do. And yes, and it comes with those awful memories of the battles, the blood, the bodies left, whether it's enemy or friend alike, and how they suffer in the meantime coming home, whole, partially whole, or mentally lost. So then you finish out with, who are they, the likes of them? They, like us, are only ordinary men. Why are they given the power to cause such pain? Still, they keep on doing it over and over again. It's from that notion of if you don't remember history, then you are doomed to repeat it. So it's a continuous afterbirth of bloodshed. Nicely done. All right, Jean, we're back up to you.
Okay, and the next piece that goes with that song is called One If by Hellfire, Two If by Sea, by Vance Vixen. That's going to read. And here goes. My car coughing dust onto the country one-lane highway. One redneck cornhole drove from West Virginia, where children skip past farm fields and flow forever. And small-town America just defies Trump as their golden god, cheerleading for some dude on their team named Brandon. And me, Rainbow Alex, sticker, smiling on my back bumper, a Biden tank top that at last went to war in Washington, D.C., and the smirk of their favorite feminist driving through. One radio station pounds out religious pulpit prayers, screaming about death, damnation, and damn Democrats. Jesus is sending judgment day to bring us all home. The fires of hell are licking our feet. Run, fools, run. Only other radio waves stretching to my passenger seat, barely heard through the static of the Shenandoah Hills, is one lowly scientist, a foreigner in this strange land, preaching climate change will drown us all out to sea. And all I can think is, the world is ending. Great. We finally found an apocalypse we can all agree on. End poem.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, come on. What do you got?
All right. Well, you know, I enjoyed this. It had plenty of attitude in it. I like the whole idea of the end stanza of the sarcasm in there of, you know, finally finding something we can agree on. Also, really clever title. One if by hellfire, two if by sea. And I like where she says, where was that? Oh, yeah, where she mentions the bumper sticker and me, Rainbow Ally sticker smiling on my back bumper. You know, you can always tell a lot about a person by the bumper stickers they wear. And, you know, so just a really clever write on society. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, you got to read it.
Here we go. You know, I thought this was a great piece. It sees all these wonderful points, you know, that all pull together. And some you can find humor in and some you cannot. And no matter which side of the street you're standing on, you can get a chuckle from it. Because she kind of pokes at both sides. And I think that that was clever. As Pam said, and me, Rainbow Ally sticker, smiling on my back bumper, a Biden tank top that last went to war in Washington, D.C., and the smoke of the saber feminist driving through. I thought that was kind of funny, just right there. But there's just so many great little, you know, clips in there. And all I can think is, the world is ending. Great. We finally found an apocalypse we can all agree on. I mean, yeah, there you go. I just think that Dan Fiction did a great job with that. So, nice work.
Nah, thank you, Gene. I, too, got a kick out of that title, One If By Hellfire, Two If By Sea. Well phrased. And I did like the humor in this because it did roll on the, with sarcasm, irony, and it had some bite in it, too. That opening of my car coughing dust on a country one-lane highway, one redneck cornhole throat in West Virginia. Nice opening there. Really, I enjoyed that. And the back end of this, too. And all I can think of is the world is ending. Great. We finally found an apocalypse we can all agree on. So this actually did drip heavily with some sarcasm and irony, and I enjoyed it. Gave me a chuckle. Thank you, Bam. Or Gene.
Two seconds, I tell you. Just two.
Well, one, two.
Yes, thanks, Rex. Keep it up. I'll give you
two. Yeah, that was too creepy. All right, how about one and then two?
Maybe. I don't know. You want to try it again? Oh,
one,
my gosh.
And then.
Yes. I'm coming. I swear.
Well, you did say it then.
Yeah, let me see. Yeah, I can do what I got to do. Okay, the next song we're going to play is Great Gig in the Sky. So let me put that up, and then I'll go back and check it out.
Mm-hmm. should I be afraid of dying? There's no reason for it. You've got to go sometime.
Okay, Rex, I have the next one for you, and this is by Dammit Dave. It's called Bulldozer.
Okay.
By Dammit Dave.
Bulldozer of Death by Dammit Dave. With age comes wisdom that our bodies do not mature as a fine wine, but more as a soft and brittle cheese that molds when it had weathered the world too long. My aching joints, now fragile, creaking, floorboards of a long-forgotten house. Cracks in the window panes, dilapidated shutters, a rickety roof, an unsound foundation. Soon to be condemned by the cantankerous building inspector wearing the name tag of Time, and raised by the ebony bulldozer of Death. And Paul. G. Jean, why don't we start with you?
Because, you know, I looked away. this is a great piece by Dave, as always. You know, I like his free verse almost as much as I like his rhyme. But with age comes wisdom, that our bodies do not mature as fine wine, but more as soft and brittle cheese that molds when it has weathered the world too long. You know, I mean, he has such a way. He either writes things that are so beautiful or he just lays it on the line. And I think this is a lays it on the line kind of right here. And I think it was just well done, and I think it was a good take on that prompt, really. So wonderful job, Dean, and absolutely thank you so much for sharing. Great stuff.
Thank you, Jean. Pam?
Oh, this is wonderful. Beautifully written free verse, strong imagery and metaphors, a real polished consistency throughout in the tone. And I like how it speaks on the idea of how cruel the passing of time is on the body. I really like this all the way through, but especially as he describes the falling apart of the body as like a long forgotten house, my aching joints, now fragile, creaking floorboards of a long forgotten house, cracks in the window panes, dilapidated shutters, a rickety roof, and unsound foundation. I think he's pretty much wrapped up the aging process in a nutshell with those lines. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Yeah, I got a kick out of this. It's humorous in a dark way because it speaks of reality, but those opening two stanzas I thought were really cool. With age comes wisdom that our bodies do not mature as a fine wine, but more as a soft and brittle cheese that molds when it has weathered the world too long. Boy, does that offer up a nice tone of inflection. And then that Pam just read that note with the cracks and window panes will have to shut a rickety roof. But that was cool. But so was the last six, seven lines. Soon to be condemned by the cantankerous building inspector, wearing the name tag of time and raised by the ebony bulldozer of excellent finish. Humor and dark humor. So this was really good, Dave. I enjoyed it. Thank you very much. All right, Dean. We're back to you.
Okay. Let me grab the next one, which is a piece by Jenny Hunt, and it is called Waiting for Death on Life's Dark Side of the Moon. So let me do that. I have a sound file raw and audio for this. And here we go. Ta-da. Okay. And let me hit the button.
Waiting for death on life's dark side of the moon. Let me die today. Fear death, I do not. On my door, let it knock. Still waiting for death. I never cared if I died. It's when loved ones die that I lose my mind. There is a time and place for us all to pass. But please, death, come take me first and fast. I am too weak-hearted. I can't live without them. Just thinking of them passing makes me cringe. On the dark side of the gray Cheshire moon, sun has been eclipsed, but no change in my tune. Walking up on the crumbling edge, ready to jump, there is no more fight in me. I feel like giving up. I'm ready to leave this disturbing world of hate, lived and loved, now ready to finally meet my fate. End poem.
Great read, Jenny. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is much appreciated. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Yeah, I thought this
Pam?
Was absolutely. Yeah, sorry about that. I knew exactly where the mute button was, and I was tapping it, but my phone screen wasn't responding. So that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. And anyways, this is a wonderful, heartfelt write, beautiful imagery and metaphors throughout. I like how it has a positive attitude about facing the eventuality of death and with that understanding that it comes to everyone. But I also really think it has a strong emotional impact on how she writes about the idea of wanting to go first, because, you know, you can't imagine going before anybody you truly deeply care about, that you're either, you know, like being the first one in a relationship, a marriage to go, or being, you know, even having your children die before you. It actually kind of makes me think of my great-grandmother, my mother's side. That woman lived to 108 years old, 108, and she outlived 3 out of her 4 children. And, you know, so it's kind of like that whole, like where Jenny says, you know, please, there is a time, place for us all to pass. Please, death, come take me first and fast. I am too weak-hearted. I can't live without them. Just thinking of them passing makes me cringe. You know, and that is so true. We all, none of us want a slow and painful death. We want to have that quick fall asleep in your, you know, your fall, go pass on in your sleep, you know, and so this is a very relatable rite on its perspective of the heart's desire when it comes to the end of life. So excellent rite and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Tried this and yeah. I thought it was very well done by Jenna. Much enjoyed her take on the prompt. I thought it was both clever and well written. You know, and I grabbed two of the stanzas, you know, starting off by, let me die today. Good death I do not. On my door, let it not. Still waiting for death. I never cared if I died. It's when loved ones die that I lose my mind. And you know that the whole piece is just take me first to don't deal with the loss. It just hurts too much. That's where I was going with it. And I think that it was just really nicely done. And I think her final stanza, on the dark side of the gray Cheshire moon, I thought that was a neat image there. So nice work, Jenny, and thank you so much for sharing with us, as always. Great job.
Thank you, Jean. First, I got to say, she did it in a sonnet style, so that's nicely done. And she does hit on that note of understanding that death does come to everyone, and she doesn't fear that angle of death. But that second stanza, there's time and place for us all to pass, but please, death, come take me first and fast. That idea kind of hits on the idea of already understanding that time in life when you start seeing friends and family starting to go. And you're understanding, all right, the clock is ticking, and it's already becoming heavy on the heart in what's going on. So the idea of let me die today, fear death, I do not, on my door, let it knock. Still waiting for death, I never cared if I died. It's when loved ones die that I lose my mind. So is that notion of not looking forward to that which is coming, so take me first. I'd be willing to pass first rather than watch everybody I care about die. So I guess that kind of hits a familiar note with everybody. And then I'm ready to leave this distressing world of fate. Lived and loved, and now ready to meet my final fate. Nicely touched on the back end of this too, because it does speak of the idea of, hey, I've done my time. Let me go first. Thank you very much, Jenny. All right, Jean, we're back up to you.
Okie dokie. Pam, I'm going to ask you to read the next one for us. And this is all about society except for the first one by Time Keller. So I'm not exactly sure the right title, but I'm reading off of the link, and you only have that to do. Anyway, whenever you're ready, Pam.
All right. I got this bike, a sky reached from by my trike. if you like, I'm still a boy. I'll die one of life's toys, not a victim to the spectrum or the mind that others strum, just a traveler passing through. How I wish I truly got to know you. And there we all go with our tickets for a final show, the great gig in all of time. Insanity, such a fine, thin, fine line. And there we all know the encore is no show, the final curtain, and we will try the great gig there in the great sky. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, this walks right up your alley. Oh, Gene?
I did. I like this. I like this a lot. I thought I love how the last line tied right into the prompt. I got this like sky reach for my sprite. If you like, I'm still a boy. I'll die one of life's toys. Die one of life's toys. Not a victim to the spectrum or the mind that others strum. Just a traveler passing through. How I wish I truly got to know you. It's just great lines, and it's a wonderful little brevity. You know, it's not tiny, but it definitely is short. You know, it's short lines, and it's quick to read. And I don't know. I just thought it was nicely written. And as I said, you know, I thought it was a great take on the poem. So, well done, Time Teller. Much enjoyed this. Great job.
Thank you, Gene. Pam.
Yeah, this is wonderful. I have to say, I'm really impressed. I think in the, 4 or so years that we've been doing shows and Time Teller's been writing for us, this is the first rhyming poem with separated stanzas that I've seen from him. Or at least it's been so long that I can't remember. But, definitely something different for him. Very cool. I mean, I always like his writing, but it's interesting and fun to see people try something different. This has a really great Pink Floyd vibe to it. And I like how it speaks on the idea of the journey, of a journey of the mind and the need first of all, I get the impression the second half of a journey of the mind, but the first half, I get the impression of the idea of boys will be boys and, you know, the idea of, you know, wanting to have those toys to play with, to show off. I like the title. It's all about society except for the personal. That's very clever play on words. Wonderful rhyme and flow, great imagery, and a great look at this like chaos that we call life with all its ups and downs. So very well done.
Thank you, ma'am. I got that first stanza. I got this trike, a sky reach by my. I got this bike, a sky reach by my trike. If you like, I'm still a boy. I'll die one of life's toys. I got the impression of literality there, and the fact that keeping a touch of boy in you to make sure life doesn't roll over you, so to speak. You got to keep a little bit of the child within, and then that the second stanza rolls into that notion of adulthood, not a victim to the spectrum or the mind that others strum, just a traveler passing through. How I wished I truly got to know you, that the traveler passing through hinted that idea of still being the boy and not putting down solid roots, so to speak. And then you hit some, and there we all go with our tickets for a final show, the great gig in all of time. Insanity, such a thin, fine line. And that kind of hits on the back end of this where it comes to the, it's all about society except for the personal. Again, that idea that, that fine line between sanity and insanity is often stepped across. And then we all know the encore is a no-show, the final curtain, and we will try the great gig there in the great sky. The idea, hey, we're all passing out into the same plane, which next comes us. why not try living life properly before you get that far? Nicely done, TT. Thank you very much.
Nice.
All right, Jean, we're coming up back to you.
Well, for our next song, I'm going to play Brain Damage.
Oh, I like that.
The lunatic is on the grass, remembering games and daisy chains and laughs. Got to keep the loonies on the path. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my home. The paper holds their folded faces to the floor. And every day the paper boy brings more. And if the dam breaks open,
that's going to bring me back to you.
Okay.
I have one called Brain Damage by Tito and Every Band.
Brain Damage by T. Parent. Little did I know those whispers and that evil manic laugh would become your haunting template like a faded photograph. He would drink in every sentence from that madman full of woe. Now my brother and the devil are both dancing toe to toe. No Way Back might be the title as he languished in despair. Lo, behold the tarnished angel in this underhand affair. Us and them would be the mantra that would kiss his swollen lips. He was swallowed in an instant by an absolute eclipse. Lunatics were making faces. One would steal in out of sight. Drugs would offer him redemption and appease his appetite. Now I'm left with shattered fragments and an eerie, haunted tune, while my brother's chasing footsteps on the dark side of the moon. End poem. Ah. All right, Pam, what do you think?
All right. Well, first of all, great read there, Rex. Always good to hear from T. Perry and see that he gets inspired. Wonderful rhyme and flow. I love how the last line gives a nod to the title of the album, Dark Side of the Moon. That was very cool. All the way through, this is a great write. I like how it speaks on, it's a dark, great dark write on a mind that falls into the realm of madness. And I kind of almost get the impression of a person whose mind is split into two parts. I really like this all the way through, but especially that end stanza with lunatics were making faces, one would steal it out of sight. Drugs would offer him redemption and appease his appetite. Just powerful dark lines and very well done.
Great. Thank you, Tim. And Jean.
I love this piece. As you're reading this piece, and I'm looking at it as we're going along, I could get that whole Pink Floyd vibe, going in my head with this piece. The way he worded it, the way he put it out there, I thought it was really a fabulous write. Wonderful rhyme and meter, and an awesome take on the prompt. And I love how he tied it up with "On the Dark Side of the Moon." That was my excellent ending line for this piece. And I have to agree with you, Pam. I like that last stanza. I like them all, but that last stanza really resonated with me when it was all said and done. So excellent job, T. Perry. Nice work.
Thank you. Well, Gene managed to get quite a bit into this. He got the dark side of the moon to finish, but he's also got eclipse in the second stanza, and there was another one. I lost it. Rats. But he's got the last stanza. It starts out with lunatics. That's where the sound starts out. The lunatic is in the grass. And there was another piece in there from something that I missed. Now I can't find it. Damn it. Anyway, this fits. It fits the music of this song. It flirts with an angle. This could actually work as the lyrics for the music itself. But he notes as for Andre, and since he's got his brother in here, now my brother and the devil are both dancing toe-to-toe. There is that inkling of a bit of reality that walks within this. And that second stanza is kind of harsh. No Way Back might be this title as he languished in despair. Lo, behold, the tarnished angel in this underhanded fare. Us and them, us and them would be able to mention. Us and them would be the mantra that would kiss his swollen lips. He was swallowed in an instant by an absolute eclipse. Oof. The idea of the lunatics making faces, the drugs would offer him redemption and peace of appetite. Now I'm left with shattered fragments and an eerie haunted tune while my brother's chasing footsteps on the dark side of the moon. It does hint at a death in the back end of this. So well done piece. It was a tribute there, T. Thank you very much.
I just want to say I was looking down at there's one of 515's comments to Perry, and I did see where he had written this for Andre, so I have to assume I assumed it was just someone he knew. So from what he wrote, dear T. Perry, I'm sorry for your brother and his suffering, also for you as you supported him. My sincere condolences. So if that being the case, I want to say we're sorry for your loss. T. Perry 98. put a wonderful job on the poem. This is kind of bracing under weird forms, doesn't it? Okay, I'm going to read the next one. And then, Pam, I'm coming for you. Okay, this one is The Dark Tide in the Lagoon by Bob Pallister. The paper boys have grown so old, the age that bore them has been dull toll. And all the news that now arrives in megabytes into our lives, around the clock in squawking flocks, not daily through the letterbox. Seductive streams of them and us that fill our dreams, create the buzz that make us need to touch the thing whose hollow racket sucks us in. The next grief to avoid all friction while truth is being destroyed as fiction into vast vessels of addiction. We'd love to spend time on the grass, but it's all been blocked, paved, alas. Or graveled over a membrane spread to keep the thought weed from our heads that if there were allowed to sprout, might rapidly grow into doubt. The chance to see different versions kept closed of a lunacy of certainty imposed. And so on.
Well, great read there, Jean. Thank you very much. And Pam, we're coming to you.
Okie dokie. Yeah, this is great. Another wonderful rhyming poem. I enjoy and appreciate Bob Pallister's poetry. I really like, this seems like the kind of poem that should be put into a time capsule as a representation for current times. I really like how it speaks on the decay of humanity as our times are changing. And it not only the literal changes, like the fact that there, you know, there's really not paper boys the way there used to be. You know, we don't read papers very rarely. We don't read, you know, paper magazines. Everything's online. Everything's, you know, through our devices. You know, great right all the way through how there's this kind of a lunacy and spread of lies throughout media. I really like Around the Clock and Squawking Flocks, Not Daily Through the Letterbox, Seductive Streams of Them and Us, that Fill Our Dreams, Create the Buzz. Wonderful lines and very well done.
All right. Thank you, Pam. And Jean, you got to read it. How about you?
Well, you know, as I was reading it, I'm going, okay, and I kept thinking I was going too fast, going too slow. I thought I was messing the whole thing up. But I thought that it was just a wonderful take on the chosen line. Because he picked specific lines from the song. The lunatic is on the grass, and the lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their folded faces to the floor, and every day the paper boy brings more. So I think that when I looked at that, I went, okay. Because I started tying things in. And I think it was just really well done. I thought it was well expressed. You know, it was a fun read. And I, you know, thanks so much for sharing with us all tonight. Great job, and thank you so much, Bob Pallister.
Yes, I mean, the title, the Dark Tide in the Lagoon, offers up a note to you. The loon being that roadway of all-consuming water, the thought of the information highway, so to speak, being that water. Running downstream all the time. He hits on that notion, the back end of that first stanza, that makes us need to touch the thing whose hollow vacuum sucks us in. Through next grease to avoid all friction, our truth is being destroyed as fiction into vast vessels of addiction. Boy, that hit on the idea of how the short angle of what you get TikTok and used to get with Twitter, which is no longer Twitter anymore because it's changing and offering up new realms within sight of. But you get those quick hits, those quick little bites, and they don't tell you the whole truth. They don't give you nuance. They don't give you because they are clips. instead of being the whole note to what was said or offered. And we, then he hits on the back end of this, again, taking from the song, like you said, we'd love to spend time on the grass, but it's all been block paved, alas, or graveled over membrane spread to keep the thought weeds from our head. Oof, it hits on the idea of not being able to think freely, that if they were allowed to sprout, might rapidly grow into doubts, the chance to see different versions kept closed, while the lunacy of certainties imposed. That's the idea of how do you impose authoritarianism on people. Is you control the language which is brought down to them so that they can they're only offered up a singularity or instead the duality of freedom and thought. So well done, Bob. Thank you very much. All right, Jean.
All right. That is the next one for you, Pam. It is Dark Side of Smoking by Peter Sawin. So whenever you're ready.
All right. Dark Side of Smoking by Peter Solway. Place upstairs, inner city Melbourne, bearded bloke nodding, joint in him, a Heidelberg School fan, both new to my acquaintance. Check out the Cubist composition man, happy and certain, rolling a log to light and pass over, reach for that spectral cover. Dark Side of the Moon, Melbournean magician lowering black disc down, an African flying saucer on glowing record player, street in sandstone, harbor shack, geometric tricks, room getting weird, voices insistent, mad as Alice in asylum land, great rabbit hole forever to mention, tunnel of grave dimensions, medication kicking in. Nowhere to land in this endless present vacuum of sucking womb. Band gone mechanical, doomed to machinist hell. Last sensible conjecture, civil statement to upset Victorian resident. Invite all the werewolves round to clear the gangplank, so stoned my bearded man. Impressionists off to London, knee to open window. Terraces of Tucker, expressionism taking over, yanks into willing women, victory to come, St. Kilda forever recalling with such license to have chundered on a world below, gone where no impressionist goes, space urgent, death imminent, bearded chap, maybe a man of the cloth, Edwardian and concerned, remembering a fleeting hymn, strange house with large room, opening out onto Fitzroy expressionism and poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Jean, we're going to come your way first.
Jean said she had to step away.
All right. Now I guess I'm going to go first, huh? All right. I like the idea of the title, Dark Side of Smoking. It kind of lets you into where you're going to go. Then the opening at place upstairs in inner city Melbourne, bearded bloke nodding, joins in him, a Heidelberg School fan, both new to my acquaintance. All right, the idea of getting high and the School of Heidelberg, something very new. I like the thought of rolling a log to light and pass over, reach that spectral cover. So he's hitting on a first time getting high, Dark Side of the Moon. The idea of lowering that disc, African flying saucer on glowing record player, already starting to feel the buzz. Then the next stands roll down, the harbor shack geometric tricks, room getting weird, voices insistent, mad as Alice in asylum. He's getting into the music and the song itself, these songs. I did put this in this particular one because he didn't list, so I thought since it hit on the note of insanity, it fits perfect with brain damage. And then he rolls into the great rabbit hole, tunnel of grave dimensions, medication kicking in. Again, that note to how stoned he's getting. then the thought of it's on Band Gone Mechanical, Doom the Machinist Hell. He's hitting in a Time, nicely done with that one, and Money with the cash register, so well done with that sort. And I really like this one. Last Sensible Conjection, civil statement to upsteps Victorian resident, invite all the werewolves around, clear the gangplank, so stoned, my bearded man. He might be that stoned, but looks like you're that way too, Peter. I like that. Then the next one was a really good kicker. Impressionist off to London, meet an open window, Terrace of Tucker, expressionism taken over. As he's doing a little womp, womp, womp. But I did like there was another one. Where is it? St. Kilda Forever, recalling with such license to have chundered on a world below. nicely done. Hung his head outside, a blue chunks all over everyone below. Edwardian and concerned, remembering a fleeting hymn, strange house with large room, opening out onto Fitzroy expressionism. How's that for painting a picture of, that reminds me of a Three Dog Night, Mama Told Me Not to Come, about all the crazy things that happen in that type of world. And yes, we got to experience it. Nicely done, Peter. All right, Pam.
Yeah, this was quite the clever piece. I had a lot of fun reading this one. I told him it sounds like some fond memories of his college days. I really like how this is like such a visual trip through that era of getting high and, you know, just tripping on the high, tripping on the music, you know, and the art. And that whole, yeah, I had a crack up at that whole, blowing chunks part too. I really liked also that part that said last sensible conjecture, civil statements up steps, Victorian resident, invite all the werewolves around. And that part about the werewolves made me think of the song, Werewolves of London. And another great part, because I always enjoy it, but Alice in Wonderland references, is Street and Sandstone, Harbor Shack, Geometric Tricks, Room Getting Weird. I'm not quite sure if that's meant to be weird or wired, but I like how he spelled it almost like it could be a combination of both words. Voices insistent mad is Alice in Asylum Land, and a great nod to the, I feel like this was a great tribute to the album and that time period in which the album was written during. So excellent write and very well done.
Cool. All right. Gene, are you back? No, maybe, yes. Oh, Jeannie.
Hey.
Uh-oh.
I'm back. I'm back. I'm sorry. Okay.
That's all right.
And the last one under this same song is going to be by Lal called Matter of Fact, It's All Dark. So here we go, Rex. I'm going to ask you to read this one.
All right. Matter of Fact, It's All Dark by Lal. He's been there for a long, long time, abandoned, out of reach, lost in a world so dense and dim, sunlight would never breach. Yet never did he feel alone with that voice in his head, the lunatic who laughed, ha, 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 at every word he said. Then came a time when pitch-black views would leave him almost blind. Though silence there had made him deaf, still peace was hard to find. No clarity, no getting free from that which laughs and taunts. The parasite embedded in his every waking thought. But he would hold the candle for that devil there to rule. Brain damage had been diagnosed, but he was not a fool. Once doctors thought they saw that glow, but in reality, no lights went out before the droughts that drained tranquility. And pause. All right, Pam.
Oh, this is another one with a great rhyme and flow. Yeah, I really like this and how it speaks on the idea of a mind caught up in madness, and the idea of that trying to find that clarity that just won't come to you. I really like how she threw in the ha ha into it. The lunatic who laughed ha ha at every word he said. There came a time when pitchback views would leave him almost blind. Though silence there had made him deaf, still peace was hard to find. You know, and it's funny. You know, there are people who aren't even considered technically insane who find themselves funny, and you wonder how that happens. But, you know, great, clever right, fun lines, an interesting look at that search for inner peace that doesn't come when the mind is being bombarded by darkness. I particularly also like, but he would hold a candle for that devil there be to rule. Brain damage had been diagnosed, but he was not a fool. You know, so wonderful lines and very well done.
Well, thank you, Pam. And Jean.
That's me. Yeah, I really like this piece. I like Lyle's work. She always has exceptional rhyme and meter. And, you know, I can pick any of these stanzas, so I'm going to start at the top. He'd been there for a long, long time, abandoned out of reach, lost in a world so dense and dim, some light would never breach. Yet never did he feel alone with that voice in his head, the lunatic who laughed, ha-ha, at every word he said. What an excellent beginning to the piece. And, you know, the next few stanzas weren't weak at all. I mean, they carried the rest. And I love how she ended it as well. So this is a great piece, Lyle, and thanks for sharing with us. The only thing that could have made it better is if we had your little sound file. But that's okay.
Actually, thank you, Jean. Yeah, this did. Matter of fact, it's all dark. Doesn't tell you what's going on until you actually get to that first line, as you just read that first stanza. So it is. It's dense, it's rich, and it's got such a great flow to it. It rolls off the tongue real well. And she's got some great lines besides that opening stanza. There came a time when pitch black views would leave him almost blind. The silence there had made him deaf. Still, peace is hard to find. No clarity, no getting free from that which laughs and taunts, that parasite embedded in his every waking thought. She kept up that nice note from the ha-ha, the lunatic, that laughed at every word. But then again, that parasite embedded in his every waking thought. Oof. Dropping that note into how far along he's gone. And then that last one, but he would hold the candle for that devil there to rule. Brain damage had been diagnosed, but he was not a fool. Once doctors thought they saw that glow, but in reality, the lights went out before the droughts that drained tranquility. Oof, that's right over the edge of the point where he's fully mad and in his own little private world. Damn. Nicely done, Lyle. That was good. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Okay, Rex, here's the deal, okay? I don't want to start the next lead-in because it has a couple of poems.
Yes, I know. We could probably do one, but that's cutting it really, really close considering that both,
yeah.
Both SoundClouds. So, yes, why don't we do a little...
I think we'll just kind of promote some of the upcoming shows
You
know, thank everybody and call tonight, right? I like it.
And not to worry, everybody, because we are doing this next Sunday. So what we didn't do tonight, the last 11 rites or so, will be done next week along with the music that goes with them. So you're not going to lose out. In fact, Pam has already promised she wants to get in on the deal for next week, too. So there'll be another one. Now, what have we got going on? Oh, Lou's still running her April picks, right?
I Don't give me the line about what month she's working on. But I know Lou's running the
front page for April 2023. That's on the board.
Yeah. I'm not sure if she's up the current month. She may be. I don't really know. Because she just always has a board full of front page picks because everybody does such a fabulous job from the group. And so she'll be on tomorrow night with front page picks, and then she'll be doing open poetry second half, which is always wonderful. And what do you guys have for tomorrow night, you and Pam?
Pam, what do you got?
We have poetry inspired by the poetry of Constantine Cavafy.
Oh.
That's a mouthful.
Yes, it was. But I'm sure that if you check our topic boards, you'll find the one for After Midnight with Sam, with Rex and Pam. And, you'll find the contest there, or you'll find it in Pam's personal contest page. Or if you go to the members contest page, you can find it there. You know, we try to make sure we put it everywhere, right? Kind of like horsemen off. You just put it all over so everybody can find things. That's what I like. Nice, Pam. Thank you. Tuesday, we have the Tuesdays for the Twisted Sisters. And I think, is it Naomi's week, Pam?
It is, yes.
Ooh.
And,
well, do we have a board?
Yes.
Do we know what we're doing? Oh, there it is.
She won a contest on the topic of simple things. The contest is closed, but I'm sure once she has the topic board up, you know, on topic rights will be more than welcome.
Yeah, simple things. Is that like, is my picture on that contest? That
I'm not really sure. I don't know. It's just kind of, yeah, I don't know. That's just, and I might be even slightly paraphrasing. I just know that it was something along the idea of simple things, you know. So
that's just fine. Just fine. And Wednesday, I believe Wednesday morning, we have Keeping It Brief. Is that correct?
Yep.
Keeping It Brief, yes.
Okay. Keeping It Brief, a Wednesday at 10, I think. 10 or 10:30 p.m. Work with me, girl. I don't know.
10:30.
Awesome. And that's usually a real good show, and keep Pam busy, keep her out of trouble. Keeping her out of the bars is what we're doing. Just letting everybody know that. That was not quite a secret, but, you know, we try and keep it under our hats a little bit. And I believe that Naomi also has The Art of Seduction this week. Am I correct there, Pam?
You are correct, ma'am. And the topic
Naomi's
is
a busy girl.
Sensual size.
There you go, sensual size. I like it. So that should be a great show. And Pam, you know everything. So who's on the Headliner's Ball this week for After Midnight on
Wednesday? Oh, my gosh. I feel like I'm being tested. That is actually one I do not know. It is,
yeah,
is Jenny Hunt 2017 and Gavin Brenner.
Awesome.
Nice.
Oh, you are just, she's the font of all knowledge, I'm telling everyone. Jeremy talks about her highly on, Headliner's Ball. He tells all of her accolades. So this is just another one to add to the story. Now, on Thursday, we have Double Helix this week, I think. No, yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Followed by, and I don't know what their topic is at all. And Pam, I don't know if you do, but you know the next one, so you can't go anywhere yet.
Okay, I do not know Double Helix, but yes, so you can check out
Yeah, I don't know what the topic is for Double Helix, but we can bebop around maybe and find it. And then we have Break On Through with Pam Ray for After Midnight. So what do you got going on, Pam?
All right, well, this is going to be a fun show because, they're all going to be fun, but this is, I'm running a contest with antique posters, like antique advertisements.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny coincidence is that the header picture I have in the contest is actually of a bike shop of Stelina's hometown, Wolverhampton. So she put in a saucy little piece, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I highly recommend people check it out.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Absolutely. And then last but not least, well, not really last, either, but Friday brings you back to me and you're all stuck with me again. So that'll be Gomez with poetry, followed by part sinner and part saint with Aphasiana and Babler. And this weekend will be Gray Eyes Smith, followed by, the new show, Delving into the Darkness, Delving into the Depths of Darkness with Galena and Arcana. So I hope everybody will join, and we'll give them a nice warm up. And then we're back with Rex again. So life is good, right? I think we've got
this. Yep.
That was a whole week. We did a whole week.
Wow. Wow. We have a great lineup this week.
We have a great lineup every week. Every week. I don't quite know how we do it. Everybody's wonderful.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, Rex, wonderful show. You know.
Yeah. The timing was perfect with the last threesome.
Right. Excellent.